all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Look at what we did. We made it. We made it to Election Day. Thanks for being here. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense. It is Tuesday, November 8th. Yep, we made it. Ready or not, like it or not, this is the day that people have been working toward for a couple of years now, where in Wisconsin, we are going to have big elections for governor and for U.S. Senate and for congressional seats and legislative seats and county seats. And all across the country, some big decisions are going to be made that will lead to determining who controls Congress, both the House and the Senate, which kind of lays the groundwork for what the next 2 years will be like with the Biden administration. Will we see more of the legislative achievements that outflanked anything that a president has done in his first 2 years, you know, in recent memory? Or are we looking at 2 years of gridlock, probably investigations, maybe an attempted impeachment, and God knows what else setting the scene for 2024. So no pressure. Just get out there and decide what you want the next couple of years to look like in your district and in your country. Aaron Zomers is in the producer chair. You can reach him at 715-388-7155. And if you're going to call in this morning, I'm going to ask you not only if you've already voted, if you early voted, if you're voting later today, but if you're doing anything to pester people to get to the polls. In fact, you could even call out people by name right here on the radio. If you call in and say, I'm challenging my friend so-and-so or whatever, that way you can let them know you've hounded them on statewide Wisconsin radio to be sure they get out and vote today. Aaron, your vote is in. Have you hectored anybody yet about voting today?
I have. My roommates previously, they haven't gotten up at the same time for me, at the same time as me for work. I wonder why. One of them has started getting up a little earlier and going in earlier. So this morning I'm like, hey, you better vote. He's like, yeah, I know. He's going before work. My other roommate is going after work. Talk to my cousins who live in the area, some other friends. I'm trying to remember to remind as many people as I can, just waiting till a little bit later in the day when more of them are actually awake.
I suppose, you know, not the worst thing. I heard something about the Powerball drawing being delayed. I'm going to have to take a look at that. That you're putting off my money, you guys. You know, $1.9 billion on the line. So we'll see what the latest is on that. We'll report about that, because if there's one thing we would all vote for, that would be to have, you know, just about $2 billion. And I promise I would use it better than Elon Musk. I would not use it to buy Twitter and have people mock me nationwide, you know, for a terrible purchase and, well, simply for being a terrible person as well. You can also send us a note, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI. The polls themselves will open at 7 o'clock in the morning. So we are just 50 minutes away from that. And then the polls will close at 8 o'clock. By and large, that will be the case. There will be a few places, I would gather, where people will still be in line at 8 o'clock. And if that's the case, you get to stay in line and you do get to vote. But you can avoid that by, you know, trying to get in as early as you're able to. I think more importantly, talking directly to the people who sent in for an absentee ballot and they just didn't get around to mailing it, do not put it in a mailbox today. There may be some states where if it's postmarked on Election Day, it's okay. Wisconsin is not one of them. If the mail to your local clerk delivered today doesn't have your ballot in it, if it's still somewhere in the mail system, it's not going to count. If you walk it into your clerk's office instead of mailing it, that's going to be better. Bring your ID and you can personally walk it in. I've done that in the past where there's been a line outside my town hall, but I've been able to walk right past the line because all I'm doing is handing an envelope to the clerk. And now there might be a line for that as more people vote early than ever before. And that reminds me, I have yesterday's numbers. As of 7 a.m. yesterday, 720,000 absentee ballots had been returned Of that 720,000, 316,000 people did that by voting early in-person absentee, you know, just over these past just under 2 weeks. So good on all you, the more than 300,000 people who voted early and more than almost 750,000 of you statewide who don't have to worry about voting today. You've done your job. You've done your duty. We had quite the development late yesterday heading into Election Day when a right-wing group represented now by disgraced former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman and the right-wing legislator Janelle Branchon, who chairs the Assembly Elections Committee and has turned it into a dog and pony show, filed suit asking a Waukesha County judge to segregate all military absentee ballots and not count them tonight. That's what they were asking. They're saying, don't count these ballots tonight because, you know, somebody that, you know, we agree with managed to acquire some fictitious ballots. And therefore, the whole system is higgledy-piggledy, and we've got to separate those military ballots and not count them. Thankfully, after about a two-hour hearing, most of it listening to Michael Gableman bloviate, a judge finally said, this is drastic. This is a political question. I'm not going to separate out the military ballots. There are problems with the system, but not to the point where we have to tell our men and women in uniform, especially those serving overseas, that their votes aren't going to count on Tuesday night. So thankfully, the judge did that. So we'll talk more about that and other developments for this election day coming up. This is Up North News Radio. Well, that's what we need. We need a nice autumn song as we head into the final minutes of autumn, it feels like. Well, you know, final hours of autumn somewhat, because the weather, as you just heard on the radio on your local forecast, is going to go through some big changes coming up. Now, thankfully, before we get to the clouds that are rolling in later today and a big change in how windy it's going to get, thankfully, there was just enough time to fit in a lunar eclipse. And this is where I have to come clean and tell you, I was impressed this morning. I normally am not a lunar eclipse fan. Normally, it just looks like the moon, you know, they say, oh, there's a shadow on it. It looks like it has some schmutz, you know, and you just kind of want to, like, you know, lick your thumb the way that you're going to fix your kid's eyebrow, you know, when it's a little unruly and you just want to rub the moon a little bit, like a spot on your computer screen. You just got to get that spot off of there. And usually it's not that impressive. The moon gets a little, you know, red tint to it. Okay, that's all fine and good. And that's what I saw around 5 a.m. when this was all just getting going. And then, you know, my wife left for work about 10 to 6. And we stepped outside. Again, we were expecting to just kind of mock the schmutz on the moon. But no, it was a nice, sharp eclipse where only the very top of the moon was was viewable over the crescent that was there otherwise. And I got to admit, that was probably the first lunar eclipse I'd ever seen that truly looked like an eclipse and not, you know, just like your eyes are out of focus or your contacts were dirty. Did you have visibility in Madison down there, Aaron?
I wouldn't know. I wasn't looking outside. I didn't know that was happening today. I didn't pay attention.
Okay. You know, we've got, you know, different TV channels on early in the morning, and of course they're all breathlessly talking about it, and I was not prepared to be impressed. So it was in that case. And of course, with daylight savings time being done now, the sun is coming up earlier. So don't be running outside. It's, you know, it's done. But it was pretty cool. Coming up at 6:30 this morning, we're going to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and we're going to talk to Nicole Slavin from Moms for Mandela to talk about some of the Election Day activities that are going to be going on. By and large, what's happening now is, well, there's only a couple of things. There's visibility, and I think that's what Nicole and Kristen are going to talk about, is just being outside, you know, on overpasses or on street corners, waving your signs, reminding people to vote. Some of you are going to drive by and roll your eyes, and some of you are going to be reminded, like, oh, shoot, yeah, I haven't voted yet. Good thing those people were there. So we're going to hear about that, a little bit of public service. But there's also rides to the polls that are being offered. I believe if you go to the Wisconsin League of Women Voters website, there's some information there. I'm looking to see if somebody can give you a ride to the polls and do that before you know, Republicans make that illegal too. And so we're going to try to get people out to the polls. There's going to be phone calls to remind people, and there are still going to be the text messages, you know, saying, have you voted yet? I feel like I'm on everybody's text message list, you know, on one particular side of the aisle here. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and Tony Evers, they're texting me all the time. And I want that actually, you know, I want to see what, you know, messages are being used and what tactics, you know, people are trying, like, you know, are they, is it a desperation plea, or is it, you know, got a tone of, you know, defiance or confidence to it. And so we're going to get that all for one more day with people reminding you to vote. And that's not a bad thing, especially when you consider in an election like this, known as a midterm, because it's in the middle of a president's term, voting numbers are down compared to presidential election years. For those of us who vote regularly, it still seems a little odd, a little unnatural, but there are plenty of people who only vote in a presidential election. And so there's been a lot of work up to this point, and there will be a lot of work all through the day today to reach out to people whose voting file indicates that they only vote in those presidential election years, and try to stress the importance of voting in these races, not just the big ones. You know, the U.S. Senate race with Ron Johnson versus Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, the governor's race with Governor Tony Evers versus Republican Connecticut businessman Tim Michaels, but races we haven't talked about very much at all, at least not lately, but are still so vital. Like the Secretary of State's race, where longtime incumbent Democrat Doug La Follette is being challenged by former state rep Amy Loudenback. And if the Republicans win that post of Secretary of State, and if they win the governor's race, and they still have control of the legislature, you can almost guarantee that they're going to abolish the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission and put tremendous power in the hands of the Secretary of State to make decisions about votes, your votes, your ballots, that may or may not be kept in place, that may or may not count based on their whims, based on their own interpretation of the law, meaning does it benefit my party or not, which is not, of course, how elections should be run. But that holds tremendous potential for 2024, for more ballots than ever that were faithfully cast to be put in the shredder. And how do I know this? Because of what I heard in court yesterday, when, again, our men and women serving in the military overseas, they might be active duty, they might be National Guard and Reserve. You know, they have been put in areas of combat in the past. Where those folks who cast ballots, their ballots, their absentee ballots, were very nearly set aside yesterday by a judge and would not have been counted if that judge had gone along with the lawsuit that was filed by the Thomas More Society and State Representative Janelle Branchen of Menominee Falls, the Milwaukee suburb, who chairs the Assembly Committee on Elections. I mentioned all this coming into the break, and I wanted to have a little bit more reaction to the lawsuit and more about, you know, what actually happened by the end of the suit. So this all came up, this lawsuit by Branchen and the Thomas More Society, represented by Michael Gableman. They wanted the military ballot set aside until each one could be verified, claiming that the current system to request military absentee ballots is faulty because a deputy elections official in the Milwaukee area, Kimberly Zapata, requested and got three ballots for made-up military members and sent them anonymously to Branchen's home to help her make the case that the system is fraudulent and should therefore, you know, these military ballots should be set aside and not count tomorrow. Now, the thing you have to understand is that the rules for military absentee voting are different than the rules for you and me. Whether that's valid or not is up for interpretation. But it's, you know, Republicans have been aware of this for many election cycles and haven't said boo until Donald Trump came along with his conspiracy theories in trying to, you know, steal the last election. Members of the military, as I understand it, do not need to register to vote, and they do not need to show ID or prove ID when requesting an absentee ballot. And yet somehow there is supposed to be a list of voters, not necessarily at the state level, but at the county level, and that ballots should be checked against that list as they come in. But as you just heard, that's an interesting list to try to maintain when you don't have to register to vote and you don't have to show ID when requesting an absentee ballot. So even if they're on a list, how are you going to catch that? So yeah, there is a flaw in the system, or a blip in the system, a wrinkle. There is something that can and should be addressed. Republican lawmakers who've controlled the legislature for 12 years now could have noticed this and fixed it at any point, rather than suing the day before the election. Well, obviously that got the attention of veterans groups, including the Union Veterans Council, and they held a news conference yesterday to try to stop what they called an unjust lawsuit that will, quote, disenfranchise the brave men and women who serve our country. It is an affront to our Constitution and to democracy. If you go on our Twitter site or read our website story, we've got a quote from retired General Bill Enyart, who's the national military advisor to the Union Veterans Council. Now, General Enyart is a 36-year Army and Air Force veteran. He cast his first absentee ballot in 1969. And he said, you know, this isn't just active duty. It's reservists, National Guard members. They would all be paying the price for a partisan attack on absentee voting. He says, how can you justify curtailing the voting rights of our brave citizens who take an oath to defend the Constitution, yet you want to deprive them of the constitutional right to vote? He says, it's absolutely appalling, outrageous, and an affront to every patriot, veteran, and service member. So Waukesha County Judge Michael Maxwell listened to the arguments for, like I said, about 2 hours. Much of it was, you know, Michael Gableman, you know, preening and puffing about, you know, the need for integrity, and that, you know, our men and women in uniform would actually like to have their ballots segregated and would thank them for it, you know, because they're doing the system a favor. And Judge Maxwell, when he made his decision right there on the spot at the end of the hearing, he criticized the Wisconsin Elections Commission for not providing more thorough guidance on how the more than 1,800 municipal clerks around the state should maintain a list of military voters. But despite his criticism of the state elections commission, Maxwell would not go so far as to set aside the more than 1,400 military ballots that have been returned so far. In Maxwell's words, our fighting men and women abroad deserve the best, fairest, and free execution of election law to ensure that every legitimate military vote is counted. But sequestering the ballots and not counting them right away today on election day is, quote, a drastic remedy and at least a temporary disenfranchisement of our military voters while we figure out if any bad votes were cast. And again, the odds are you would find zero to nearly zero fraudulent ballots cast by members of the military, because the only fraud that has happened so far in this election has come from Republicans or their sympathizers, coming in this episode last week about military ballots, coming from a right-wing activist in the Racine County area recently who videoed himself doing it and said, oh, this proves the system is fraudulent because I can commit fraud. And of course, almost every other instance of voter fraud that we've seen since the 2020 election has been Republicans trying to prove that you can maybe have fraud, but maybe having fraud is not the same as proving that the system did have fraud. The checks and balances have worked. People like this Kimberly Zapata last week is now facing a felony criminal charge for this political stunt. And thankfully for this judge, our men and women in uniform, their ballots will count today because, unlike these Republicans, they played by the rules. We're going to talk to a couple of folks very active about trying to get people out and voting today right after this. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, welcome back. This is Up North News Radio. Busy just telling everybody in Facebook world that you can always find us there as well. The Up North News page, Up North News WI. I actually accidentally put it up on my personal Facebook page. So I'm sure that my mom and everybody else is saying, wow, look who's full of himself putting a radio feed up there on his Facebook page. Although I hope instead they're admiring the adorable picture. Profile picture that I put up of me age 3 in a tiny army uniform, because my dad, who was in the army at the time, had picked that up, and there I am in my tiny army uniform saluting with an I voted sticker going along with it as well. Let me see if we can put Nicole. I think you might be your phone might be punched through and on air already. Nicole, are you there?
I sure am.
Oh, good. This is Nicole Slavin from Moms for Mandela. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. So excited for today. It's hard to believe it's finally here. It's election day.
It is. Who to thunk? We finally got here. And Kristen Lyerly is probably going to join us in just a bit here as well. But for folks who missed it recently, Nicole is with the group Moms for Mandela, and let's just remind people what prompted the group, Nicole, and then we'll get into, I just sent something to your phone that I didn't mean to. It was supposed to go to Kristen Lyerly's phone. There we go.
No problem.
So tell us a bit about what it was that led to some women in your neck of the woods to form this group.
Absolutely. So Moms for Mandela started after the Dobbs decision. Obviously, kind of this knee-jerk reaction of, oh my gosh, what do we do? So it was born out of that and the idea that moms collectively, we have a huge voice. And this wasn't a political group that started. This is just grassroots moms who were upset about changes and decisions that were being made on our behalf without us being in the room. And I think also very quickly realized that it goes well beyond that moms collectively, you know, we want things like being able to send our kids to school and know that they're going to come home safe, and just having a fair shot for the middle class. So very, very big group that grew quickly, but I think just so many unifying themes in this election in particular, and why Mandela is the right choice for all of us.
Oh, I mean, so many people involved, and now that she can overhear you, Nicole, is there any
yes.
criticism you would have of how Kristen Lyerly has conducted herself with the Moms for Mandela group?
I couldn't. No. We are all huge super fans of Kristen. She knows this. No, we. She's pretty much. We get a little starry eyed around her. So couldn't have a better cheerleader for our group as well. And so thankful for all of her help. So thank you, Kristen.
Oh, Nicole, it is so much fun to be part of this group. What you guys have done is so unique and interesting and authentic, just where that energy comes from and why you're doing it. I'm just really proud to be part of you.
All right, you two. Let's settle down here and let's take it back to everybody, all the other voters that are out there that you have to reach. Now, I mentioned before we went to break that the two of you were going to be taking part in some visibility today, that there's multiple moving parts today. There's giving people rides to the polls. There's phone calls to remind people to vote. But that visibility is also going to remind a few folks, you know, that, oh, shoot, that's right, I got to go do that today. And that's, I mean, that's something important, but it also gives you a chance to work out some of that enthusiasm that you have for what's going on today, Nicole.
Absolutely. Also, voting is fun. Voting is cool. There's something about, I think we just get so jaded and out of touch in our day-to-day lives now. Seeing people being excited and, you know, honking and waving while holding a sign, something like that, it kind of gives people a reason to care. So yeah, I'm super excited to be out there and can't wait to see Kristen.
You're so right, Nicole. Yeah, like voting is fun. You know, we kind of get caught up in all these negative ads and it's exhausting. And like, put all that away. The possibilities when we can use our voices, we fought so hard, especially as women in this country, to be able to use our voices. So to be able to get out there and encourage other people to get out there and use their voices to create that change that we want to see, it's really inspiring.
Well, it's nice to have you doing that. I'm sorry, Nicole, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just was going to say it truly is. I wanted to say one quick anecdote or story from yesterday. Mandela had a stop in Green Bay, and one of the moms, local moms, couldn't make it. So she sent her mom instead, and her mom came and brought a friend. And by the end of it, my friend, the mom, had texted me. She was at work. She's like, well, both my mom and her friend who went to the campaign stop are voting for Mandela. It's the first time they've ever voted for a Democrat. So there truly is something about caring and knowing what the people in your lives are passionate about and what they care about. That is where change happens. That is where people, you know, gives them permission to care. So I really do feel there's something magic happening, particularly right now in this election.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nicole, the other thing I think that this does is provides a bit of a boost for folks who have been hearing nothing but either fear in the commercials or negativity. I was watching some of the speeches being given by Republican candidates yesterday, and it was talk like, you know, to get our country back, we have to destroy the left. And Ron Johnson has talked before about getting rid of the left, that somehow getting rid of people you disagree with is going to make things better. And I don't want to dwell on that so much as, again, what you're doing and what you and Kristen are doing are bringing that positive factor back, that this is something good for the country to take part in and not have to have the hateful rhetoric.
I love the story that you just told, Nicole, because it was a mom sending her mom, who then brought her friend. And that's the way we work. We have these conversations with each other. And instead of shouting insults at each other over Facebook, we actually talk about the things that we care about. And we envision what we could do. But we recognize that we have to do it together. This is how women work. And this is how women lead. And I think we also recognize that this is a long game. So today is a big day for us. This is like a bifurcating point. We're going to go one way or the other in the short term here in this country. But we all have a vision of a country that has an excellent public school system, that we all have quality, affordable health care, that our roads are solid and drivable, that we can afford to drive our cars. All of these things are things that we all benefit from and things that we're willing to fight for. We just have to, you know, take our time and work together to make it happen.
What do you think of that, Nicole?
Couldn't agree more. There is really there's a unique ability, I think, when you are talking and sharing with the people in your lives, whether it's your family, your friends, your coworkers, and women are doing this all the time anyway. This is just kind of what our roles are in society for you know, a lot of what we do. We're holding things together. You have to lean on people here and there to get stuff done. And what I've really learned through this campaign and the work that Moms for Mandela has done is, while you're doing that, those are people who care and respect you as well. And you have a voice. You can make real change in those relationships. And just so proud of the work we've done and kind of wishing, gosh, why wasn't I doing this sooner? That's been my one takeaway from all this is, oh, geez, I could have done so much more. And to Kristen's point, it doesn't stop today, right? This is just who we are and what we do now. So the work continues. Definitely excited and hoping for a wonderful election day today. But regardless, tomorrow we get up and we do it again.
Oh yeah, Nicole and I have big plans for the future. Stay tuned, Pat.
Hey, wait a minute. We talked big plans for the future just yesterday over lunch.
Yeah, we have that too. There's so much that we can do. We just have boundless energy.
Well, you're just making plans, and you know, Nicole really put a finger on it. Once you get involved, you might get involved for one particular issue, perhaps, or one candidate, or whatnot. But once you get into the process and get that sense of camaraderie with people who, you know, hopefully have the similar hopes and dreams, and see the activity that you can do together for the good of our country, for the good of our community. Yeah, a lot of people do tend to stay involved, and that's a thing that only continues to strengthen our country if we can overcome the apathy that other people feel. I'm looking at this morning's newspaper editorial in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and after a lot of reasons why you should vote, they conclude with a quote from the late newspaper columnist Sidney Harris, who once wrote, "Democracy is the only system that persists in asking the powers that be whether they are the powers that ought to be." And so here's our chance to tell the powers that be if they ought to stay in place or not. So, Nicole, is there anything else you want people to know about where you are in the Green Bay area? If you need them to go anyplace, do anything, call anybody, any marching orders for folks out by you?
I would just remind everybody, the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. today. Get in line, stay in line. You can register to vote at the polls. But more importantly, bring a friend, call your friends and family. Literally a simple text to a coworker or to, you know, somebody who you haven't chatted with lately but is someone who you talk to occasionally. Those sorts of things. I have had more people register to vote or already absentee voted or voted early just because of a quick call. So encourage everybody to do that. It really, really does make a difference. Every vote in this election will, and we need you to show up. So thank you so much to Pat for having us on and supporting Moms for Mandela. It's been really, really great to work with you.
Oh, we've so enjoyed being able to visit with you, and no doubt we will again, because again, I'm hearing the voice of somebody who this isn't a one and done for you. I'm happy to note. So that is pretty cool. All right, Nicole, we'll let you get back to things there. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
See you this afternoon.
Wonderful.
On Oneida
so
Street,
much.
Nicole.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Nicole. Kristen Lyerly stays with us here. And I want to start by emphasizing the registration part. You can register to vote today at the polls. That is something that can't be done necessarily in every state, but again, it's something that Republicans haven't taken away in Wisconsin. So if you want to vote for the first time, you can. Just bear in mind that not only do you need a photo ID, you need proof of residence. And there are plenty of ways at the myvote.wi.gov website that will tell you what kinds of things, like utility bills or what have you, you know, what kinds of things to bring and what will be valid. And then once you're registered, you head right to the voting booth and you're in. You didn't have to do anything but wait until today to get it done. So, Kristen, I hope you've been able to convince a few new voters to become new voters today.
I have. What Nicole said earlier, I think, is really important. If you can call three friends, not friends who have opposing viewpoints, but just friends who you know care about the same things that you care about, and just say, hey, have you had a chance to get out to the polls? People, I have come to understand that the vast majority of the population is not as entrenched in this as I am. So sometimes people just need a little nudge and a little reminder that, hey, this is really important. This is about what we all care about. Take a couple minutes, hit the polls today. If you're not registered, like you said, Pat, you can get registered right there at the polls. And this is your way to be able to use your voice. People are actually really grateful when I've been texting and calling them, grateful for the reminder and just grateful to know that somebody else cares about it. You know, there's been so much negativity. We need more of this connection and more of this positivity. And this is one way that we can do that.
Well, I'll tell you, it sure is the antidote to, like I said, some, the speeches I was hearing from last night coming from, you know, everybody from Carrie Lake in Arizona, who is still spewing just garbage conspiracy talk about stolen elections, to Marco Rubio sounding like he's running for student council, you know, saying that we're going to get rid of all crime and so many other things that, you know, are just not realistic. And again, just prey on people's fears. And well, on and on it went. And it's that positivity that's going to come from people today who are out there casting that vote. And then, you know, again, Kristen, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I know we're all feeling a little election fatigue, but that's the thing about America is, you know, there's always a next batch of things that are going to be coming up for election. And we'll have a state Supreme Court race come April that we're going to have to start thinking about and start getting people on signing nomination papers in December.
But, and that's just the next thing. But I mean, there's a whole future ahead of us. So we just have to keep whittling away at it, keep working together. You know, we're going to get there. And let's have some fun along the way. This doesn't have to be grueling and horrible and thinking about fear and crime and all of those things. Let's just be neighbors and share a cup of sugar and have a conversation over the fence.
All right. We'll be back in just a sec. You're up north. I like when Kristen plays DJ. It's a little bit more upbeat here.
This is what we need in the morning, is like the super peppy stuff.
Yep, exactly. Dr. Kristen Lierley sticks around with us on this election day, Tuesday, November 8th. And we wanted to emphasize again some of the positive factors of election day. And these are things that we talked about a bit ago, but frankly, I'd forgotten about. For example, there are no NBA games today, Kristen.
Yeah, that was a little bit of an issue with the NBA because they were having a hard time squeezing all those games in yesterday and the day before with all the officials and the travel and everything. But this has been a huge priority for the NBA, especially over the last couple of years. And I think that tells populations of us who may not go to the polls in the midterms how important this is, not just to politicians, but to the general public, to people who love basketball. And here in Wisconsin, we Bucks fans, we love basketball.
Very, very much so. And so for an entire league to dedicate itself not to playing games on election day in order to encourage voting is, you know, just a big deal. And like you said, teams across the league have individual voting efforts. We have seen it from the NFL and from Major League Baseball, which put forward initiatives to encourage the vote. The WNBA has teamed up with Rock the Vote since 2018. And then on the educational side of things, Beloit College is one of several colleges around the country to cancel classes today, because even though Election Day is not a holiday, they think it should be. And I completely agree with that, to make it more of a day of, you know, service, make sure that everybody who wants to vote can vote. And so no classes at Beloit College and several other schools around the state. Which I'm sure if your boys had heard that, the first thing they would have said is, oh, mom, I should stay home today. You know, it's election day.
I thought about that for my younger two to see if they wanted to go do some get out the vote efforts. But nah, I don't think
They're a little more shy that way. You know, it's like, I don't want to go to school. Well, OK, you have to engage in this public service like phone banking or something. Nope, I'll go to class.
No, they do a lot of that stuff. And I'm impressed by the conversations that they have with their friends at school. But, you know, as they get a little older, they're not voting age yet. And my older kids have already voted. I've already texted them. They have texted their friends. We know that youth vote, kids are not voting at the numbers that we really need to see them vote at. We need them to recognize what a priority this is. So for Beloit College and these other schools to make that statement, this is so important that we are giving you the day off of class, go vote. I think that says a lot about school administration, but about what how important this is for them to be able to use their voices as well.
All right. Well, we're not taking a holiday here from our usual segment that we do at this time of the day, but we will keep it a little shorter. Kristen, you want to play some This Day in Music History with us?
Oh my gosh, I love this. Yes, go for it.
Aaron, we didn't get a chance to talk during the break. Are you ready for this? There it is. He is. Okay, you can either name the artist or how old she turns today. She's thinking. Is this not coming to you right away?
No.
All right. Well,
I'm
let
usually
her sing
really
for a
good about this.
Okay, listen in. A friend of mine,
she cries at night. Oh, it's Bonnie Raitt. She's got to be like 70.
73 today. Bonnie Raitt, born on this day in 1949. Let's see. We don't have, while she continues to play, we don't have anything from Chef Gordon Ramsay singing. So I'll just say he's 56 today. A lot of election anniversaries today. FDR was elected to his first term in 1932. John F. Kennedy elected over Nixon in 1960. George H.W. Bush defeated Michael Dukakis on this day in 1988. And if you needed more motivation to vote, this was the day in 2016 when Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton. Have I given you enough motivation to vote yet, folks?
Wah, wah.
On this day a year ago, Missy Elliott got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And then let's do one more song clip. We got to go way back to 1967 for this one, Kristen.
Oh, I'm ready.
Everybody's talking at me.
I don't know who sings this. I definitely know the song.
One of the first one-word or one-name artists, Nilsson. Nilsson recorded Everybody's Talking, later heard in the movie Midnight Cowboy, which claimed to fame, the only X-rated film to win the Oscar for Best Picture, which I think nowadays, I mean, it still had some very mature themes, but definitely would just be like an R rating today, but for the time, 1967, talking about, you know, male prostitutes and other things in New York City. But again, one of those instant classics that is supposed to be on my list of movies I just never got around to watching. Like I think The Graduate would be another one of those from the late 60s that I didn't see. Look, it took me until I was like 45 years old to finally watch the Godfather series.
Oh, and so good.
Once I did, I was so hooked. I quote, you know, lines from one and two all the time, not three. I'm like everybody else. Godfather 3 is garbage, and don't save yourself. Don't bother to do it. But yeah, I had friends who used to mock me ceaselessly for things that I hadn't seen, and The Godfather, one of them. But once I did, I was there. Do you have anything come to mind when you think, geez, that is just something I haven't seen yet, and I really got to sit down one of these days and watch it?
When it gets to be Oscar movie time, I am a huge Oscar movie fan. I usually don't watch much TV or many movies, but I always like to try to watch the Oscar movies and just, you know, like feel like people care about my opinion. And then sometimes I look back to see what different movies have won over time, and I haven't gotten too far back, but there are many movies on that list. I mean, so many movies have won Best Picture, so they must be good. And I feel like I should watch them, just like you with The Godfather. And often they're timeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the good ones really are. And yeah, and that includes some newer ones in the other category. Probably the opposite category from Best Picture movies would be movies my kids have seen, and they're horrified that I haven't seen them yet. And for them especially, it was Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. And it took me forever. And they kept saying, Dad, you're not going to get any of our jokes until you watch this movie. So now when they start spewing some of the lines from there, you know, Dad's finally paying attention. But, you know, you get to that part where your kids are watching movies that you don't anymore. And you kind of miss out. Well, not you. You're probably the cool mom that sees everything that they see.
Can we go back to Step Brothers for a second? Because yeah. I feel like that's one that spans generations and genders and socioeconomic classes. Like, everybody loves that movie because it's so ridiculous.
It is so completely over the top. And now it's one of those when it comes on, kind of like Dodgeball, you know, or Caddyshack the other day. Yeah, uh-huh. I will stop what I'm doing and watch the rest of that. Hey, Kristen, enjoy the day. Have fun.
Oh my gosh, Pat, we are going to have so much fun, and we are going to make a difference in the world today. Thank you for having me on this morning.
You go on and do that. So good to talk to you. We'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it.
All right. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to hear from Senator Tammy Baldwin, who has been doing a lot of surrogate work on behalf of Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. She would really like to serve with the Lieutenant Governor in the Senate. So we'll hear why coming up in our next hour. This is Up North News.